This is a podcast from Seven Vineyard.
So I'm Claire. If I haven't met you before, I'm one of the co-lead pastors here. And this morning we are going to be talking about and practicing prophecy. If you're not familiar with this, prophecy is a wonderful life-giving gift and practice, life-giving practice that the Apostle Paul in the Bible encourages us to eagerly desire and to do. It's something that I've personally benefited from and been involved with for pretty much all of my adult life, and I love it. Prophecy is about connecting with God's heart of love for someone and hearing God, what God might want to say to someone to build them up and to affirm them and encourage them and really speak them into the amazing person that God has called them to be. A guy called Sean Bowles, who's American, he's really a prophetic, really good guy, and he talks about prophesying people into their full potential. So it's about seeing God, seeing people as God sees them and speaking that life into them. Just the other day, I was, as well as this job, as a leading this church here, I'm a physio, and I go into a kind of a co-working space, and I do Pilates and things there, and I was there the other day, and there's a reception area, and whilst I was sat there, a flower delivery guy came in with the most beautiful bouquet of flowers, and he was smiling on his face, and he handed them to the receptionist, who then smiled also, and clearly she was going to go off and give them to whoever they were for. And the guy, still smiling, walked out of the building. And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, that's such a cool job. You get to give these amazing gifts to people all day long, and they're not even from you, but you get the joy of giving them. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, I didn't know at that time, when I was thinking about this talk, I thought, you know, that's what prophecy is like. That God invites us to be the flower delivery person, that we get the pleasure of delivering a gift of words that strengthens, encourages, comforts, brings joy, that's not from us, but we get to deliver it. So who wouldn't want to do that? So I love these mornings when we just take some time to remind ourselves about why we do this and how we do it. I know some of our community groups that you actually do this every so often, just to practice it occasionally, because actually sometimes it takes a little bit of practice to feel confident in it. But it's one of the many fun things that comes with knowing and loving God. There's so much that we could talk about today in terms of prophecy. There's so many books on it. I could do a whole course on it and all of that, but we don't have time for that. So I just want to cover a few key points that if you've never done this before, that this would be enough just to get you started. And so I'm going to talk for about 15, 20 minutes, and then we're going to give it a go. But I do want to just say at this point, if the idea of giving it a go is already starting to raise your stress levels, then chill. Don't worry. You don't have to do it. It's totally fine. You can just sit and watch and see what happens. There's no pressure at all whatsoever. So some of these kind of just foundations to prophecy that I want to mention. First of all, hearing from God is your birthright. As children of God, created in his image, it is normal and expected for God to speak to us. Think about it. If your actual father or mother didn't speak to you, you'd have a highly dysfunctional relationship, yeah? So just as you can expect your dad or your mum to speak to you with love and kindness, so we can expect God as our divine parent to speak to us with love and kindness. And please don't exclude yourself. If you're here and you wouldn't call yourself Christian or you've never considered yourself as a child of God, don't exclude yourself. You know, if God exists, and therefore, by definition, he made each one of us, why wouldn't we have the capacity to be able to hear from him and to speak with him? And many of us who are in an active relationship with God will know full well how God was working in our lives before we came to know him. Even before we ever acknowledged him, we can look back and see how he was working in our lives and speaking to us. So God loves to speak to every one of us. And I believe he's speaking to us more than we ever realize. It's just that sometimes we need to learn how to recognize his voice. And that's what we're going to practice today.
Second thing,
the goal of prophecy is love. We want to make sure that people feel more loved when we give them a word of prophecy. The trouble is that we fall into the trap of thinking it's about accuracy. And so when we have a sense of a word that we might have for someone, because we're not sure and we don't want to look stupid, we don't want to say the wrong thing, we don't want to make a mistake, we hold back from giving that word. But the goal is not accuracy, it's love. So the question we want to ask when we're about to give a prophetic word to someone is, does this leave the person feeling more loved? And if the answer is yes, why not give it a go? There's that famous passage about love in 1 Corinthians that we often hear read at weddings by Paul. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." You know, if we have all the prophetic gifts in the world, but do not love, then we're like a clanging cymbal, noisy and annoying. In addition to this, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says that, but everyone who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. See, God's voice is not a condemning voice. Sometimes we might feel scared of what God might say to us, but God's voice is liberating, full of grace and love, like the very best mother or the very best father, the most attentive, kind, gracious, generous, patient parent a mother or father could be. Just ponder that for a moment. When God speaks to you, he speaks to strengthen you, to encourage you, and to comfort you. Don't believe those thoughts and ideas that tell you that God wants to expose and humiliate you. Some of us believe that God knows everything that we think and feel, and we're scared that God will expose that, those things that only he and we know. But that's not God's desire. God knows the secrets of our hearts, but the last thing he wishes to do is to humiliate or expose us. God wants to restore your self-respect and self-esteem. He loves you more than you probably love yourself. His desire is to lift you up and re-establish your confidence, to renew your sense of self-worth. The goal of prophecy is love. Thirdly, everyone gets to play. In Corinthians, Paul goes on to say, "I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy." And why would Paul rather have everyone prophesy? Well, of course, it's because it strengthens, encourages, and comforts people. And this everyone gets to play thing is contrary to what many of us feel with regards to prophecy. Often we disqualify ourselves from joining in for many reasons. Maybe we feel guilty. Maybe we feel shame. Maybe we just don't feel good enough that God would actually speak to us, that we think he'll speak to someone else, or we're having a bad day. But prophecy is something that we can all do. In the Bible, the Jewish prophet Joel said that a day would come when God would speak through all people. In Joel chapter 2, it says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." And that day arrived with Jesus. When he ascended into heaven and poured out his spirit at Pentecost, that day came. So Paul encourages us, or encourages the Corinthians, and therefore us, to eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. And that proves that it's not just reserved for this small kind of chosen special people that, you know, it's a gift you're either born with or not. No, Paul encourages us to eagerly desire it because it's something we can ask for more of. It's something we can practice, something we can grow in. The guy that I mentioned before, Sean Bowles, who's incredibly gifted prophetically and is a really good guy, but he wasn't born that way. He's just a fairly regular person. And when he was on staff at a church as an assistant pastor when he was young, for the first 2 years, he committed to every day calling one or two people off the church database, and he went through the whole database and just sharing a prophetic word with them. He just practiced and pursued that gift, and then God just was pleased to bless him with it. And I'm reminded of John Wimber, who founded the Vineyard Movement, and he had an amazing healing ministry. Probably saw thousands of people healed, but you know, he prayed for 200 people before he ever saw someone healed. And I think two of those died, actually. It's not good. But, you know, he practiced and refused to give up. And, you know, I just wonder how many of us, me included, just, like, give up after, like, the third failed attempt. But, you know, prophecy is for all of us if we want it. Everyone gets to play. So, how do we hear from God? Well, hearing God comes out of personal intimacy with God. The better we know him, the more able we are to recognize his voice. It makes sense. In Hosea chapter 9, a story in the Old Testament, a person who speaks prophetically is called an inspired person. They are someone who is breathed upon by God, and they have inspired that breath. You know, when you are having an intimate conversation with someone, maybe you're in a busy cafe or something and you're sharing something with your friend and they lean over towards you and they whisper something to you and you feel their breath on your face. That is the metaphor that Hosea is using when he describes someone who listens to God speak to them. God often speaks to us in a whisper, in a way that you can only really hear if you're prepared to get up close. God invites us into close communication with him. To be prophetic is to be a friend of God. God speaks to those who talk to him and listen to him and acts on what he tells them. When we share a prophetic word, the truth is that it's likely to be a mixture of a bit of God and a bit of us. But the more we know God, the more we'll be able to reflect his heart. So, how does God speak? Well, there are many different ways that we can sense God speaking. Probably the most common and simplest way is just that we get a sense, a picture or an image in our mind's eye. Like you might imagine our bedroom back home or our pet or something. That we just have an image that comes into our mind, or maybe a sense of a word. Maybe you might see a word in our mind's eye. An example of this in the Bible is in Amos, where he says, "This is what the sovereign Lord showed me, a basket of ripe fruit." "What do you see, Amos?" God asked. "A basket of ripe fruit," I answered. Then the Lord said to me, "The time is ripe for my people Israel." So often we just get like an image that might stimulate a thought of what God might be saying through that image. It may be that you're looking at a person that you're asking God to speak to you for, and that something just sparks in your mind, something about what they're wearing that might just trigger something. Or it might be something you notice about the expression on their face that sparks something that God begins to speak to you about. So it's really good just to keep your eyes open when you're thinking about someone that you're listening for. It may be that you actually sense something in your own body. So you may sense an emotion that wasn't there before. You don't feel like it's your emotion, it's a new thing. Or maybe even a physical sensation, like a pain in your knee or your back or something. So when you're listening, just be aware of anything that is coming to your mind or physically in your body. And when you notice something, you can then just say, "Holy Spirit, is that you? Are you wanting to say something to me through that? Is that something for this person?" If you do get a physical sensation, you're not sure, then you could say to the person, "Oh, I've got a bit of shoulder pain. Is that?" And, you know, the person might say, "Oh, I have a bad shoulder." You know, those sorts of things happen. They're really cool when they do. It may be that God brings other things to mind for you, like a Bible verse or the words of a song you're listening to on the radio that morning. He may draw your attention to a physical object that just catches your eye and you just get a stirring towards it. You may hear an audible voice. Some people hear an audible voice. Sometimes God speaks to us in our dreams. There's a whole load of different ways that God speaks to us, and he knows how we're wired. And, I think God generally speaks in the way that makes most sense to each of us, but we're all different. Sometimes you might get a fleeting thought that kind of comes and then goes, and you almost need to grab it and pull it back. Almost like, imagine if a feather was to fall down and land on your arm and you brush it off without even thinking about it. Sometimes it's a thought you need to actually notice that feather, notice that thing and just pull it back and say, oh, was that you, God? And the more we practice, the more we get used to just catching those fleeting thoughts that kind of come in and out. Sometimes I find the analogy of a needle in a haystack. So if you wanting to hear God for someone and saying, Lord, what are you saying to this person? Sometimes it can feel just so wide, so broad. It's like God could be saying anything. Where do I even begin? A little bit like finding a needle in a haystack. But if you make the haystack smaller, it's easier to find the needle. So we can do things like asking God for a specific something. So it may be that we say, God, can you give me a season for this person? What season are they in? I mean, there's only four to pick from there, so you've got like a 25% chance of getting it right. Or you may like, maybe there's an animal. Give me an animal for this person. Be careful how you do this. but it may be, what are the characteristics of that animal? What might God be speaking to me about that for this person? And it might be that you share that. You might share the characteristics or not the actual animal. We did this once. We're in a group and the person suggested a vehicle. So I was praying, listening for someone, and I just got this picture of an old red, I don't think red was important, but an old red car. And the person was sat in the passenger seat, just kind of moving over to the driver's seat. That was it. That was nothing spectacular. And then she said, oh, that's really encouraging because I've been involved with something for quite a long time, which I think it was the old car, but I've been in a supportive role and I'm just thinking about whether I should take on leading this area instead. So that was really encouraging to her, but it wasn't anything, I didn't say anything dramatic or anything, but it was she felt known and felt God was speaking to that situation. So you could pick anything, pair of shoes, that kind of thing. Are they dancing shoes, sporty shoes, like wellies or whatever, and what might God be saying to you that? So that's quite fun to do. It's quite fun to do in groups as well. Anyway, a few top tips if we are going to receive or give words. So the first one is chew the fish and spit out the bones. So if you're receiving a word, Thessalonians says we should test everything, hold on to the good. So we chew the fish carefully and spit out the bones. And any prophecy is likely to be a bit of God and a bit of the person giving it. So take what's helpful and let the other stuff fall to the floor. It's really important that we weigh it when someone gives us a word of prophecy. So does this resonate? Does it sit well? Does it give you peace to receive it? Does the word that's been given to you fit with the character and nature of God that we see in Jesus? Does the word that's given to you cause fear or shame? If so, that doesn't sound like God. Remember, prophecy is to encourage, comfort, and strengthen. Does the word confirm to you what God is already saying to you? You know, rarely does God speak out of the blue through someone else. More often, the prophetic word given to you from someone else confirms a sense of what you're already feeling God say to you. So if the word sits well, great, receive it. If not, just let it go. The person made a mistake. It's no big deal. I always think, you know, when people share a word and it's not right, you know, actually it's just really good to think, I'm really grateful for them having the courage to share it. And also I receive the love that they express in trying to share it. You know, so it's always a positive thing, but you can forget what they said if it didn't help. You know, I think it's just important to remember that when we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, that we ourselves have the ability to discern for ourselves what God is saying to us. So, you know, whether it's some big prophetic famous person or whatever, or whether it's someone that's doing it for the first time, whatever it is, we need to personally discern it for ourselves. And if it gives us peace, great. If it doesn't sit well, then just let it fall to the ground. Great, that's the first thing. So do weigh it. Second thing is, don't be weird. You know, you might have been put off by prophecy in the past because of the way it's been used or the way someone has given a prophetic word to you. Maybe they've acted a bit weird. Maybe their character doesn't quite line up with their gifting. Maybe they haven't acted in love in the way that they've done it. And actually, it makes you cautious of prophecy. I think going back to like weighing it for yourself, that's a really good thing. But when we're giving it, let's not be weird, like we might have experienced from other people. So you don't need to change your voice when you prophesy and sound all spiritual or something. You don't need to speak more loudly to add emphasis to what you're saying. You know, if it's God's word for the moment, it'll cut straight to the heart, even if you whisper it. Be open to the fact that you might be wrong. You know, it's really good to say things like, you know, I have a sense that God might be saying this for you. That's a brilliant way to do it. And it just leaves it open for the other person to weigh it. Don't use spiritual language that doesn't make sense. And we can all imagine, remember kind of spiritual language that is just not helpful. I like to imagine that I'm saying this to my neighbor next door, that I'm going to see every day when I walk out the house. I don't want to say something that's awkward or they can't relate to or that it just feels weird. So just use really normal language. And the thing is really clear, no hatch, match or dispatch. So don't prophesy about pregnancies, marriages and deaths. It's just really not helpful. Please don't do that one. Sometimes you might have a dream that somebody's got pregnant. Those sorts of things do happen. And if that person then says that they're pregnant and says it first, then I think it's okay to say, oh, I had a dream about that. But if that doesn't happen, then do not say it, please. It's just not helpful. Next one is cut to the chase. So when you're giving a word, cut to the chase. What is the essence of what God is wanting to say? I think so often, maybe if we're a little bit nervous or whatever, we end up with this kind of preamble, like we say, oh, I feel like God might be saying something to me before, but I'm really sorry, I'm not sure whether I got it right, but do you mind if I share it? And I was on my way to church this morning and I was kind of noticed this thing that reminded of you, and I don't really normally walk that way. And all this kind of preamble often happens because we're actually nervous about getting to the point. But it's just not helpful. And by the end, the person's like lost it. So what is the essence of what God is wanting to say? That's all that matters. Prophesy potential, not the problem. So this is a kind of a similar thing, really. Like when you're thinking about someone, you may get a sense that God is saying something about them that's maybe negative in the sense that it may be that that person is insecure. Or they're struggling with anxiety or something. And, you know, if you just give that and like, I feel God saying that you're insecure, that might not be the most helpful thing to give them. So don't prophesy the problem, prophesy the potential. So if you get a sense of something that God might be saying about someone, just say, thank you, God, thank you for that. Okay, in light of that then, what is it that you want to say? What is your heart into this situation? And it may be that God wants to say, you know, God believes in you, or he loves the way that you do that. That's the thing to share. You don't have to share what he's revealed to you about their anxiety or insecurity. So prophesy potential, not the problem. I go through, when I'm listening to God for someone, just a really quick little checklist. It's like a traffic light thing. So red, amber, green. So red is whatever God's revealed to me. So it might be what I think that God's revealed to me. So it might be an image, a picture, a word, that sense of where the person is at, whatever it might be, all those different ways that we were saying that God might speak to us, physical sensation, whatever that is. That's the red. We don't act on that. That's just a something that we feel that God's revealed to us. Next stage is the amber stage. Again, we don't act. We just say, okay, thank you, God, for revealing that to us, to me. In light of that, what is it that you want to say? What is your heart into the situation? So that's the amber. Still don't act, because then it's the green stage. I've got a sense of what God is saying, what your heart is. Okay, God, will you give me wisdom now as to the best way to communicate this? What is the essence of what you're saying? How can I share this in an uncluttered way? Then that's the green. And then that's the time to share. So I find it helpful just to go through those things. When I'm on the amber stage, just to say, if you get a sense of what God might be saying, it's also good to say, okay, God, thank you for that. And is there anything else? And just keep asking that until you don't get anything else. Because often there's a train. Often God begins with something and there's a bit more and there's a bit more afterwards. So I keep going, okay, thanks for that. Anything else? Anything else? Okay, no, let's go. Okay. Great. So we're going to practice in just a moment. I just want to share a little story with you. So a number of years ago, forgive me if you've heard me share this story before. I like it as a story. So, by the way, it's a good story, but I've had millions of times when I've failed and made a mess with this, but they're just not very interesting stories. And actually, I think I blocked them out of my mind because I can't actually remember them, but I know there's been many. But anyway, this story... A few years ago, there was a group of us, and we were going out into Bristol, and we used to do this regularly, where we'd go out just to share prophetic words with people on the street, trying not to be weird. But we did our best not to be. But anyway, we'd go, we'd be listening to God, and then we'd go and find these people and share prophetic words with them. And the way we used to do it is we used to take some photos, a bit like this, on your table. And we used to turn them over like a pack of cards so we couldn't see them, and then just offer them to each of us in the team and just used to pick one without looking, pick a couple of photos, look at the photo, see what God might be saying through that photo, and then go and find someone to give it to. So one week we were out and one person on the team picked one of the photos randomly, and it was an image of the sea and someone looking out to the sea, and it was... They sensed that God was speaking about hope. I don't know much more of the detail. It was about hope for a situation. Anyway, he went out, this guy, we would go out in pairs, and found this young girl, and he shared this word and this photo with her, and just saying, I think God wants to bring you hope, that you're in a difficult situation. And it just so happened that actually for her, she had some her children taken away from her. And obviously it was a very difficult time. Life had not been easy for her at all. And so that was a real encouragement that this guy on the team would come up and give her this photo. 5 weeks later, we're out again as a team, slightly different team members. Some of them were the same, some different. We hand out the random photos again, turned over so no one knows what they're picking. One team member, different to the previous time he went out, picked up the same photo, felt that God was speaking about hope, went out to find who this might be for, and found the same person. So 5 weeks later, like, I just think the kindness of God, that he knew that that person needed to be encouraged, that he sent someone, and then 5 weeks later, this random way we do it. Like, God just so loves it when we take risks for people, and he so loves people that he wants to speak to them. So the many times you make mistakes, it doesn't work, it's worth it for those times when you just see God do something really beautiful. So, right, we're going to give it a go now. As I said before, there's absolutely no pressure to get involved. But why don't we start, and then you can opt out at any point. What we're going to do, basically, we've got photos on the table, and we're just going to do a similar thing. We're going to pick a photo, see what God might be saying through it, and then ask God who that photo might be for and give it to them. I'm going to talk us through it through each step. So, and if you're at home, I think there's an image that's going to come up on the screen that I've picked for you, randomly, so that you can be listening to God for that too. So if someone on the table can spread out the photos, and if we're happy to, each of you, just take a moment. Just trusting that God is with us, he loves us, and he has good things for us this morning. Just ask God to draw your attention to one of those photos that he might want to speak to you about. Have a little look at them. see if one just kind of catches your eye. You might not know why something catches your eye. Doesn't matter. And then if you're really not sure, then just pick one. It doesn't matter. And when you've got your photo, just have a little look at it and familiarise yourself with it. And take note of anything in that photo that strikes you. How does it make you feel? Does it remind you of anything? Does it bring a memory up? Does it cause you to think of a particular scenario? Just be aware of anything you think, feel, or see right now. I'll give you a moment. Okay, so just think through now how you would describe that image. Great. Okay, and now just take a moment just to chat to God. Just ask him, God, what encouraging word might you want to say through this image for someone? Don't think at the moment about who it's for. Just think about what God might be wanting to say. Let your mind go free. Let your thoughts flow. How might God want to strengthen, encourage, or comfort someone? Feel free to use the pen and paper if you want to jot things down. You might jot down all your thoughts and then start to distill it down and just to ask God, what is the essence? What's the essence of what you're saying? Before we leave this space of listening, do you mind just want to ask God, is there anything more? Is there anything extra? So if you have the image and the sense of what God wants to say, that essence of what he's saying for that person, then have a little look around your table and ask God who this word might be for. You might get a sense inside, you might get a leaning towards that person, just drawn towards them. You might look around and see something about what they're wearing that just catches your eye for no particular reason. You might not know why you feel it's for that person. That's okay. There's often, we don't have to logically understand these things. Sometimes it's just the gut. And sometimes, you know, if you really don't know, just take a guess. That's fine too. God works really well through guesses as well. Okay, and so then, now if you're happy to, if you have that word, that sense of what's God saying and how you might like to say it and you know who it's for, we're just going to take a few minutes, we're going to put some music on, and it's just time now just to share it in your table. You might like to go around the table. If you don't want to share, you just pass, you just knock a bit like a poker, just pass on, and that's totally fine. But if you've done this before, you might want to be kind and go first, make it easier for the other people. But that's all, just go ahead, go for it. I'll put some music on.